Good morning, everybody. Since we are with quite a large group, as you have seen, we would like to suggest a few simple rules, rules that you probably already know. But first of all, we would like to ask you to keep your microphone and your video off at all time. A second one is that Peter and myself, we are the moderators, and we will guide you through this webinar. Also, good to know is that this webinar is recorded. If you should disagree for any reason, please let us know through the chat box. This way we can just stop recording. That's no problem, just let us know. A third obvious one is also, we ask you not to introduce yourself, of course. You will find the participant list in the meeting invite that you received. And also all the slides will be sent afterwards. So on our last slide today, you will see the link where you can find the presentations. So if you should have a question, please put it in the chat box. And at the end of every presentation, we will select a few questions to discuss. We also know that it can be a bit difficult to make it interactive during a webinar. So that's why we would encourage to use the chat box, but also, first of all, maybe grab your phone and go to or scan the QR code or go to the website of Menti, fill in the code, and there we have a few questions waiting for you. So a first question, just to warm up, is to see how everybody is feeling today and how did they start their day. Okay, this looks good, I think. I hope you all have your coffee in front of you, which will help you. A second question that we have is just to know, of course, we have the participant list, but just to know who is in this call. Okay, also an interesting one. Happy to see that there are quite a lot of people of the lane present.
Are we there?
Okay, a third question that we have for you is, of course, on the subject of the topic of today. Okay, also very interesting to see that there are quite a lot of people who are already involved in Mobility Hub. So this will be, I think, a very big asset for the discussion later on. And a fourth question has to do with the movie that we sent out on the mobility hubs in Luxembourg. Okay, I see that's still necessary that we send out the link, because it's quite a good view on the mobility hubs in Luxembourg. So we will do that afterwards. Okay, so over to the agenda of today. These are the six people who will give their view, will give the presentation later on. This is the agenda that you received from us. And if I may, I would like to just in 2 minutes explain you a bit who we are, why we are organizing this webinar. So we at ITS Belgium, we are a non-profit public-private association, which means that we stand in between authorities and companies. So and we see many good initiatives within the mobility domain, but they are often isolated, and this is something that we want to see a bit or change a bit. And so we try to align and harmonize them as much as possible. And also, of course, creating discussion moments like this to get also the noses in pointing in the same direction. We represent quite an interesting network. Wait, are the slides coming through? A quite interesting network of authorities on all policy levels and companies and also sector federations and knowledge institutions. Together with our members, we've defined priority domains, four priority domains. Within those four priority domains, we have several action plans with five axes, and the fifth X has to do with infrastructure, and that's also the reason, of course, why we have this webinar today on mobility hubs. So this was just in a nutshell what I wanted to explain. So via this way, I will give now the floor to Peter and Sven for the introduction. If you can please put on your mic and camera.
And welcome everybody. I will be very quick. Peter van der Perre of ITS. I think many people know that we were actually today planning a great technical visit with Office on Wheels buses starting from a great parking in Brussels. We had to postpone that technical visit to the multimodal hubs in Luxembourg, and we have organized this webinar instead. But I'm delighted and excited, I think as you are, to see who our speakers are, and very quickly, as we will see after Sven's introduction, we will listen to Eric Dubois, who would normally have been also our host at the starting hub for the Luxembourg visit. So without further ado, Sven, I give the floor to you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Peter. So hello, everybody. I'm Sven Huismans. Working for the New Drive. Peter and Kurt asked me to give an introduction about the opportunities and the challenges for mobility hubs based on our experience for the last 3 or 4 years at the New Drive, where we have been working on mobility hubs from the policy level till implementation. So on policy level, we're working with the Flemish government on their mobility points policy. We're involved in some regional mobility plans within the traffic regions from Limburg, region of Antwerp, but also for the Vlaamse Rand and Gent, Mechelen and Kortrijk region. We're working with the city of Antwerp for the introduction of their mobility points. There they call it the Slimme Schakels, and I've seen that 6 or 7 colleagues of the city of Antwerp are in this call. So. I'm happy with the attention that the mobility hubs get in that city, and also with the introduction of electrical mobility in the hubs. If we've been working with different governments. Now this theme is close to my heart because It's already 15 years in my circle of interest. I've been working with in the past with the NMBS SNCB on bicycle points, cycle parkings, bike sharing. And it's good to see that the vision we had 10 years ago is now finally coming into place in our daily urban system in all those stations and mobility hubs all over the country. Next slide, please. For the opportunities, we see that the visibility of the team for the last 5 years is big. The political and organizational attention for the hubs, it's much more than 5 years ago. The best example is today. We're in the call with almost 100 participants, if I saw the list. But also if we see all the different project calls and subsidy calls, we only can be happy that all those different government layers gives much more attention to the implementation of hub strategies all over the country. Also, the policy frameworks are taking shape. 10 years ago, we have to go to Holland or to Germany for a policy framework, but also we see that the different layers in Belgium are now working on their own policy frameworks. So it's good. So with attention, we have a lot of opinions, and it's good that we can work in the direction that the opinions are getting put onto paper, and we have those new visions. I put in the link to the Flemish policy framework, but maybe Kurt, you can also share later the different policy frameworks for hubs we have in Belgium. Can you please stay at that slide? Also, the new governance structure we have in the Flemish region, we have the traffic regions, so we have regional mobility plans, and it's good to see that the regional approach it's necessary, but also it's an integral approach with all those different partners working together, the local governments, but also MOA, AWV, the land. So they're not working next to each other anymore, but they're working really in strong collaboration with each other. And collaboration, it's a magic word when you're working into hubs. And also the technology, 10 years ago, you were discussing about the signaletica in the stations and the signage in the stations. We see that the discussions we had those days, the signaletica isn't still not everywhere in the stations, but the technology enables that the digital integration goes much faster. And today we have apps who gives us much more information that a little sign can ever give us. Next slide, please. Also, we have still a lot of challenges. First is the thinking in networks. We see that introduction in the past 2 years is still quite local. So it's important if you have the hub strategy to connect the entire trip. So the vision has to go from the local location where the people live till the places they visit. And it goes not only in your own region, but also the vision has to come, has to be made for the entire daily urban system of the user. The user-centric vision, I think we can take steps in that also. Like I said, what we as a government find it's important, but we build it for the customer. So it's important to keep that always in our minds. The integration of the car system, but maybe it's more the integration in the in-car ecosystem. If we see that the in-car route planners or the TomToms of the Googles or the Waze's are still the monomodal door-to-door apps, they won't direct us to a mobility hub with our car, and we can take the tram over there. So I think that's one next step we have to take to have those in-car devices go from monomodal to real multimodal route planners, the quality of the data, and also if you build the integration of all those data, where can sometimes we have difficulties to know where to find all those data. So the national access point that we are building now is it will be quite important. The coordination or the collaboration between the budgets, we see a lot of subsidy calls from the different government levels, but also from mobility, from the spatial planning environment, PDOs. So if we can have a real good coordination of those budgets within the region, I think we can take quite fast some next steps. But also the inter-regional coordination. We have a Flemish vision, we have a Brussels vision. I think we have to cooperate quite more between those different regions, because like I said, we have to do it for the customer, and he doesn't stay in his own region, he moves all over the country. And I also, I think that Corona is a challenge, but also it's an opportunity, because it will give some pressure on our collective transport, but the door-to-door traffic with the car is not a solution. So I think within Corona there will be a growing importance to apply of integrate other modes in the hubs, like bicycle parking, micro mobility. So I think that Corona it's a challenge, but it will be an opportunity also. So Peter and Akur gave me 7 minutes. I'm on 7:30, so I'll quite happy to give the floor to the next speaker.
Yes, and I will just pop in between if you don't mind, Sven. Thank you very much for that intro. People will have seen that our agenda is a little bit like a sandwich, Sven. So you and Simon of Ernst & Young are a little bit like the outer buns, the intro and the conclusions. And then we have three, I would say, yummy parts in the sandwich. Basically presentations on Brussels, a presentation on Luxembourg, and a presentation on the Mobipunten in Flanders and Belgium. So everybody sees who our next speaker is. He does not need an introduction, but I think you will all agree with me that Eric is one of our true parking experts in Belgium. So we are delighted to have you, Eric. Eric, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, everyone. I will try to explain a little bit what's happening in the Brussels region when we talk about parking ride and mobility hubs. Next slide, please. So three topics. First of all, we'll talk about the parking ride. No. Okay, thank you. Parking ride policy in the Brussels region. Then we'll talk about the parking ride Syria, or for the Dutch speaking among us, COVID, as let's say a case study. And then based on our first experiences with this parking ride, we'll talk about some the observations we made and the challenges we will be faced with. Next slide. Before talking about parking ride, I will say just a few words on parking Brussels, on the parking Brussels parking agency. It's created in January 2009, but we are operational since 2014. We've evaluated quite a lot. We started with 7 people and now we're 260. Now we're managing the on-street parking in 10 of the 19 municipalities in Brussels. And also our off-street department is developing with projects about bike parking, parking ride, park sharing, and so on. Okay, next slide, please. So, parking and ride in our region. Well, as you know, ideally it would be the best to create parking rides or mobility hubs further from the Brussels region. But we also have our typical Belgian structure of our state. So it's not always possible to do what we want, and we depend on what the other regions want or can realize. So that's why there's made a long-term planning for parking right locations within the borders of the Brussels region. There are already some locations, but as you can see on the map, they're not all the time quite well located. Some of them are clearly too close to the center of this region, but still we have some locations, and we're trying now to develop some real park and ride projects, because most of them are still just, well, parking lots without any management. So we're going to the other way, and we're going to try to manage parking right locations. And that started with the first one. Next slide, please. The parking right Syria or Govi in the south of the region, Anderlecht. So we made some plans for some of the locations, for quite important projects. And the first that was realized is Syria. It's opened in, it was May last year, May 2018. Next. Next slide. Okay, thank you. It's, well, quite an important project, as you can see, with 1,300 parking spaces. We have 200 spaces for bike and ride. It's a secured car park. It's open, of course, 24 hours. It's quite well located. It's very close to the ringway, with an easy access via the junction 16. We have a connection with the metro line number 5. So that's a line that's going directly to the center of the city. So we're, of course, it's preferential access for commuters, but it doesn't mean that there are no other users, of course. We have the possibility for the residents of the neighborhood to use the parking, and for those visitors of events in the southern part of the region, like visitors of Anderlecht football team. Well, I have to wait, I think, to visit their team, or events in Vorst Nationaal. So they can use this park and ride too. Next slide, please. As I said, it's a managed park and ride. That means it's also what you all have to pay to use it. We know that's not something we used to in Belgium, but we still try it with tariffs for commuters with an annual subscription of 60 euros a year, 5 euros a month, and then 1.50 euro a day. Occasional users pay 3 euro a day, and then we have the others. And for instance, the classical rates, so those who just want to use the parking without any connection with the public transport, they have to pay 1 euro per hour. The problem for these tariffs is that there's, for the moment, no integration with the tariff of the public transport. We're talking with the Brussels region public transport company, but well, it's not that easy to come to a result. But it's the final goal, of course, to have one integrated tariff for the parking and the public transport. Next slide, please. Well, I told you there's a planning to create more parking and ride hubs. Well, this is is what we planned. So for the moment, we have our Celia Park and Ride and Kynem, that's is only about 160 parking spaces. Normally, we would start with Herman de Brugge and Delta next year just to manage them, but we're waiting for the permits. And then we're going on with the other projects. We'll have to wait if we can, we'll be able to do all this. You know that, well, especially the financial possibilities or lack of possibilities. And I think the corona crisis will be important because yeah, a lot of the financial possibilities of the region are now spent, and that's logical, on solutions for the corona crisis. So it's quite well possible that for some projects there will be quite a delay to start with them. Next slide, please. We have a project that we already started. The construction of it will normally start in October. It's the parking lot Stalle. It's a little bit smaller than Sirius, 700 parking spaces and 100 spaces for bicycles. Stalle is also on the south side of the region. It will be managed in the same way as the Park and Ride Syria. We don't have the metro, not the subway, but we have quite a fast tramway there. And the difference with Syria is that we asked for modularity. So if one day we have to see that there are less users than we thought, or mobility is changing completely and people are not coming with their car, even not just to use those parking rides, then we will be able to change some of the spaces in this parking ride project, and we can make it offices or shops or even apartments if necessary. Next slide, please. That's another project that we're preparing, Park and Ride Kynem. So now we have just a parking lot with about 160 spaces. There will be a parking ride for 750 cars. It's very close to the eastern border of the region. There's a metro station nearby that's on the left of this picture. And there will be, normally from the start, we'll have shops and so on in that project. Next one. That's a very important project, Esplanade, for 1,500 cars. It's at the end of the A12, and it will take some time. Because that means also we have the A12 will completely redesigned on the territory of the Brussels region, that means we need a lot of finances and we need a lot of time. Anyway, this will be important not only for the commuters, but also, of course, for those who go to events on the Heysel, the football stadium, the Heysel, the palaces for expositions and so on. So for the timing, I can't say anything more for the moment, but it's in the pipeline. Next slide, please. So we have our first... observations of how Park and Ride Syria is working. We started with a free summon that it was free, and now it's you have to pay for it. So we see there are some advantages and disadvantages. Management of a park and ride means that you can give priority to regular commuters. We've seen in the other locations that there are a lot of people just using it because they live there or they want to go to a shop, and that's not what they're meant for. So we can go for the commuters, And the fact that they're, it's guarded, secured, is maybe an argument to convince people to use it instead of just using a location without any guards. Of course, what you also saw is that the moment we started with a system that they have to pay for, then we saw that the occupation was decreasing. And management of a park and ride means, of course, that you have a higher exploitation cost. On the other hand, because it's quite a large project, we also can offer places to other users, as I said, visitors of events and so on. Maybe it's also easier to develop it in direction of a real mobility hub with other functions. Of course, it's a very large investment, and what we have to see is that there's a very low occupancy rate in the first year, probably the first years. Next slide, please. So we, based on those observations and what we know about Park and Ride, well, there are some challenges. First of all, well, we have to find a balance between offer and demand. So we have to create normally Park and Ride locations all over the region, on the borders of the region. So we have to look for locations. That's not that easy. We also have to look to create Park and Rides where there's no demand. So we have really to plan it in considering where is demand. So that means where are coming, where are the big roads, the big roads coming into Brussels. Next slide, please. So can we develop them and go to real mobility hubs? That means we also have to create some things for bikes. That's what we did in Syria. For car sharing, for electrical vehicles, we did it in Syria. So we have now we have to see if all those things are used or not. Anyway, we want to create that link with, let's say, sustainable mobility also in our park and ride projects. Next slide, please. So that's a question in which way we can diversify activities in those parking rides and to increase attractivity of parking rides. Will it be possible if we have other activities, some shops, offices, green spaces, to have more users of the parking ride? Yes or no? That's something, well, we can't say now because Syria doesn't have that kind of services, but maybe it can be an option for some projects coming. It's planned for, as I said, for the park and ride Kynum. Next slide, please. Well, of course, you have to be user friendly, and the first important thing is I already said it's not existing for the moment. It's the combined ticket with the public transport. It would be a very important argument for people to use park and ride. And so we're still working on it, and I hope we have a result in, not on the long term, but on the short term. Yeah, another aspect is we use modern technology as much as possible to make it easy to use our park and ride facilities. And so that means with cameras and so on. So normally the regular people don't have to pay at moment itself. They have access just by recognizing their number plate and so on. Okay, next slide, please. Communication. It's also a challenge because, I still think that the concept of park and ride is relatively not well known in Belgium. So we have to communicate and explain quite well what it is, but also focus on the advantages of park and ride. It means you need less time to get to the center. You have your comfort on the public transport. Certainly in Brussels, where you have a lot of metro trams and buses. Well, it's quite important, and so we're working on it. There was a campaign planned for this period, for the period of April, May, but of course, since Corona crisis, we postponed it, and we'll organize normally a communication campaign in September, October for the Syria project. Next slide, please. And that's, I think, an important challenge. Sven Hasmans already mentioned it. We really need a coordination with the other regions, so we can have different kinds of park and rides, some of them further from the Brussels region, some of them close to them, with tariffs, coordination of tariffs and so on. So park and ride policy in Brussels can't be, let's say, a standalone thing. We really need the coordination with the other regions, and we hope that one day it will be there. But yeah, Belgium is not the easiest state to organize that kind of things. Next slide, please. Yeah, and that's also coordination with the parking policy in the region, as well for on-street as for off-street. As you can see, the number of parking spaces in the region is enormous, as well on-street as off-street. So problem is that we have a regional framework for the parking policy, but it's still the municipalities that can decide about the parking policy. So we can only hope that there will be less parking spots in the center, so we can we have more arguments to promote the park and ride. And it's end-to-end. It's not you do one thing or the other. You have to do both on the same time. Reduce the number of parking spaces in the center and create parking rides on the borders of the region. Thank you. Next slide. Coordination, it's not only about the number of parking spots, but also about tariffs. And I think, yeah, it's quite clear that the Brussels tariffs, as well for the hourly parking rates, as talking about on street now, as for the parking permit, especially for our residents, well, it's far too low. It has to evaluate because if we continue with this kind of tariffs, people will still come to the center by car and will not use park and ride or other facilities. So that's the third aspect of coordination. And then next slide, for off-street, well, there is, of course, quite a difference between the tariffs used in the parkings in the center if you compare it with our parking rights, but I think there we have to focus on the difference in time to get to the center. If you use parking rights with the metro, you get a lot faster in the center. So we'll have to, but if possible, and coordinate with the off-street parkings, it would be a good thing to do. Next slide, please. So this is, was the last one. Just to resume, I think park and ride projects are going in the direction of mobility hubs can be a success, but there are a number of conditions, like what I said in the topic challenges. And if we can, at the same time, look at good examples or best practices in our neighbor countries, I think we can evaluate in the direction of parking rights and mobility hubs as we wish. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Eric, for a very rich presentation. I think we all saw the ambition level, more than a factor of five times more spaces foreseen. Just two small messages in between. People ask whether we will share the slides. Of course, we will share the slide. You will get them right after the call. We have a couple of presentations, as I mentioned, and maybe we can have one or two quick questions now to the speakers and then move on. So while I'm looking at the chat box, for some questions, maybe a first one from me, Eric. Did you look at the Luxembourg video? And such a video, do you think it could be an interesting idea to have it as well for the Brussels visions and maybe something together with Flanders or the other regions?
Yeah, I certainly looked at the video and I certainly think it is. It's a good example of having a concept for the city. A concept starting from what you need and where you can create a solution. So if we can do that kind of things, and especially, like you said, together with the Flemish region, I think it would be a good thing for the mobility in Brussels, but also towards Brussels, because it's not a question of talking about Flanders of Brussels. It's the boat. It's for the boat. So if we're less traffic, and then going to Brussels, it's also a good thing, I think, for Flanders. And I hope we can have some kind of cooperation in the next years.
I pick up one last question, Eric. You see, I think, in the chat, many interesting reflections. Yves de Belair, is there any flexibility in the design of these large parking buildings? You kind of suggested as well that the need for modularity, the need for them to evolve, maybe even to evolve, change in location over time. Is there flexibility in the design of the parking rides of the hubs?
Well, for the project Stella, that will construction will start in hopefully in October. There is a flexibility. So we asked projects where we can change parts of the park and ride project into offices, apartments, shops, or whatever. So, and that's the option also for the projects that will come after Stala. We'll see how it will work. But I think you need it because especially for this kind of big projects, we're talking about projects from 700 to up to 1,500 spaces. Normally, mobility will evolve in another direction. We'll have less cars or less cars used anyway. So we will not, hopefully, will not need that kind of big projects in the future. So we need that kind of flexibility. So we think I will see what it will give for Stella as a first experience.
As we speak, I think everybody sees interesting suggestions on the chat. I will move on, however. Eric, thank you very much, and hope you stay a little bit longer with us also for the discussion at the end. The second part of the content presentations, as I mentioned, is focused on Luxembourg, and here I'm very happy to introduce to you Guido Savi, responsible for Febiac in Luxembourg, followed by Pierre-Paul Berthiaud, that many of you will know as the former director of the Belgian Mobility Card. And Guido, this allows me to not just give you the floor, but thank you once more for the
thank nice you
in preparing a technical visit.
Okay, thank you all of you. So I'm the responsible for Febiac Luxembourg. Febiac is represented in Luxembourg since 3 years now. There was no representation prior to that for the car manufacturers in Luxembourg. So the Luxembourg is quite specific. We have 620,000 people living in Luxembourg and 185,000 people that are cross-border employees crossing the border every day coming to work in the Luxembourg area. So it's created a lot of traffic. We have also a lot of trucks crossing Luxembourg, entering Belgium, France, or coming from Germany. Also trucks coming to Luxembourg and vehicles to fill the fuel because of the fuel price, which is lower in Luxembourg than in the surrounding countries. The last elections, we had a strong growth from the Greens, the minister François Bosch, minister representing Der Grün, is the transport, is the mobility minister in Luxembourg, and so we liaise with them and we work closer together. Another characteristic of the Luxembourg market is that the car park, the fleet, is very young. We have an average age of 6 years for the vehicles, which is 50% of the European average age. In Europe, the average age is a little bit above 12 years. So it's a young car fleet, and it's also a very premium car market. We sell a lot of large and powerful cars in Luxembourg. So can we start with the slides, please? Hello? Hello?
So we are moving the slides, sir.
Okay, did you hear everything what I said before?
Yes, we did.
Okay, thank you, because something was changing on the... are you showing the slides? I don't see the slides. Okay, there. Okay. So let me get a bit. Okay. So the mobility plan in Luxembourg is quite interesting because we had it in three steps. The government asked a US university professor, Mr. Rifkin, to prepare a survey over the mobility in Luxembourg. And this wide and large survey was translated into a mobility program with module 2.0. So some things were considered, some things were not considered. And an amazing factor also in Luxembourg, at the minister, they asked the Federation of the Automotive Industry to give comments on the Rifkin survey, what we did. There were some unrealistic statements concerning evolution of electric vehicles, etc. So, okay, we give our comments, they took it into account. And the third step was to translate module 2.0 in the accord de coalition, coalition deal with all the different parties, because in Luxembourg we have a coalition with different parties. So it's a process in three steps. And it's also a quite realistic process, so that they listen, that there is a relation with EAs, and they listen to the comments from the different partners and industries. Okay, next slide, please. So you will see that the plan, the mobility plan, is quite realistic. And we have the projections. It's interesting to look at the projections. If we look at the trip from home to work, the plan is to grow from 19% to 22% in public transport, which is very realistic. They know that if they would put like 30 or 40% people in the public transport, will not happen. So they are planning a growth of 16%. There is a fact also in Europe, in all countries in Europe, the trips made by public transport is about 20%. This is something we find in all European countries, about 20. And whatever the member states, they invest, it's very difficult to get more people in the public transport. So this is something, even if large investments are made, it's very hard to convince people, more people, to go to the public transport, even if this is a solution for mobility in the future. So the 16% growth in public transport is quite realistic, an increase of the size of the trains, an increase of the infrastructures, the train stations, and also an optimization of the regional trains bringing people from Germany, from France, RGTR. Then we think people will walk more to their jobs, from 6 to 9%, a growth of 50%, and we tried that 95% of the trips from home to work, less than 1 kilometer, will be done by feet, which is an increase, because in 2017 it was 56%. The problem is the average trip people made by car in the surrounding area, Luxembourg City and the surrounding area, the average trip is 1 kilometer. So in fact, it's very short, and there are other ways to move than the car in the city, of course, to improve mobility. The bicycle, 100% increase from 2% to 4%, especially for the small trips less than 5 kilometers. And the use of the car, the modal planning is planning minus 25% from 61% to 46% vehicles on the road. If you are experienced to drive to Luxembourg in the morning coming from Belgium, you will see there is a line, there is a queue that 5 and 10 kilometers at the entrance of Luxembourg. Quite difficult in the morning and the evening to go to Luxembourg and to leave Luxembourg in to France or Belgium. It's even worse. The cars leaving Luxembourg at end of the day going to France, the long queues. Okay. Next slide, please. The second target for the plan module 2.0 is to put more people in the same car. So the target here is very simple, to grow from 1.2 to 1.5 people per car. This means that every two car, the two people for every two car. So this is something we share, this is something we promote. Automotive industry in Luxembourg, we're quite in line with all these targets. And in Luxembourg, I have to tell you something, it's the first country in Europe, the first state member, where the different automotive industry association, they work together. There is FEDAMO, which is the car dealers and the garagists. There is FEBIAC, the car manufacturers and the importers. And there is MOBIS, the leasing companies. The three associations, they work together under one single confederation called the House of Automobile. And this is a nice initiative because we really work together. And for 80% of the projects we manage, and the regulations, etc., we talk together, we approach together the government, the ministers, and so it's a common approach, and it's watched by the European Commission is interested to understand how it works in Luxembourg, because they have a positive view of what we're doing there. Okay, next slide, please. Their target is, of course, the trip from home to school. They have different targets. The public transport will grow to 45% plus 18%. More buses, more combination bus and train of according to the kind of schools. Walking from 21% to 25 plus 19%. The bicycle, especially for small distances, less than 1 kilometer, and the bikes from 2. We expect in Luxembourg a growth, strong growth of the bike use to go to school from 2% to 10%. It's a 500% increase, which is it's very interesting, and it's a very positive thing. The vehicles, we try to do the carpooling to go to school and to group. We're looking for solutions for the vehicles driving kids to school from 39% to turning a decrease to 20%. So we support that. Okay, next slide. Then also to make one of the targets is to make public transport more attractive. So we try to reduce the train reduction, to optimize the trains, and especially to reduce at maximum the delays, because it's the reliability of the timing that is very important in the efficiency. And for the buses, what we try to do in Luxembourg with the government is to make sure that if you take the bus, it doesn't take longer to go where we have to go than if you do the same trip with the vehicle. So all these things is to make the public transport more attractive. There is a third thing, there are not only trains and buses, but Luxembourg City has introduced le tram. And the tram is very nice. We have the tram now in Kirchberg. I don't know if you know the plateau de Kirchberg with all the banks and the government ministry, la Cour de Justice Européenne. And we have now the train starting from one side of the big Kirchberg to Le Glacis. But this is the first step. We will increase the trip. We will increase the lines for the tram from until on one side, Kokelschauer, which is on the other side of the city, close to Cloche d'Or, if you know. And there is also a plan to extend tram to bring people to the airport. It's very easy. If you are at the other side of the Kirchberg, you can take the tram, and in 5 minutes, about you were in the center of the city. Don't have to park your car. It's a very modern tram. So tram is an interesting part to solve mobility inside the city. Even if you go to the airport, you take your luggage, go in the tram, and in the future you can go until the airport with the tram. So they invested a lot in this new Luxembourg tram. Okay, I don't know if this was a summary as you requested not too long about the evolution and the way Luxembourg sees the mobility. So as conclusion, it's a quite realistic plan.
Hido, I propose that we move right on with Pierre-Paul to complete the Luxembourg vision and picture and then see whether any questions. So the next 15 minutes, Pierre-Paul will take us through actually the Luxembourg vision for multimodal hubs. Pierre-Paul,
thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I will take this and just it's a normal link between because I will speak a lot about the tram of Luxembourg.
Voilà.
I was expecting that everybody has seen already the film because the film is really explaining very well what the tram is and also the different multimodality hubs you have at different parts. But you will have a look at it after that. And I will try to do an introduction to the context of Luxembourg and continue what Guido has said. Next slide, please. If we see... We have a lot of people going in Luxembourg from the three different countries around. You see the number there, but also the population of Luxembourg is really increasing. And this is also generating traffic inside Luxembourg. I have taken also from the share between what is done via public transport, via car and so on. And you see that the car is very well used. The bicycle is not so used, but the problem in Luxembourg, there is no meter flat around the city of Luxembourg. Then without an electrical bike, it's very difficult to use it. And next slide, please. Kurt, yes. If you compare the increase of population that's in black and then in gray, you have the increase of commuters. And you see also the kilometers per year done via the public transport. The public transport it is increasing more than all the rest. But the problem is that it's nearly an exponential growth of the need of mobility in Luxembourg, and it's impossible to adapt the street and everything like that to support it for the cars. And when we see that with the Modu plan, they want to increase the share of the public transport and reduce the share of the car. In fact, in volume, due to the increasing, perhaps the share, the number of cars will increase even if the share will decrease. That's the biggest problem in Luxembourg. And also the city of Luxembourg is in a very special situation with the two rivers, the Alzette and the Petrus. And it's very difficult to come in due to those different elements. Next slide, please. Then, for the park and ride, Eric has explained that in Belgium it's difficult due to the system. I want just to give you a small overview of the public transport situation in Luxembourg. It's certainly, I can say, perhaps more complex than in Belgium. But you have on the top, you have the Ministry of Mobility. And sometimes the cities. In Luxembourg, you have also the city of Luxembourg. Then after that, you have different public company like CFL for the highway, Luxtram for the tram, who is only operating the tram, is also a public company owned by the city of Luxembourg and the Ministry of Mobility. Then the Ministry of Mobility has a sort of agency for all the relationship with the customer, and that was the Verkeersverbond Mobiliteit Centrale. And they are working on the passenger information, they are working on the ticketing, but for the moment the public transport is for free, then the ticketing is nearly finished. And then you have also a big thing, it's the Régime Général des Transports Routiers, who are organizing all the bus. And there you have public bus, like CFL or Ville de Luxembourg, and you have also a private company with the two biggest, Emil Weber and Salesland. Next slide, please. In Luxembourg, you have a lot of initiative, you have a lot of innovation. I have put there the tram bus of Salesland on the left since 2013. It's exactly the same vehicle as the line used for the tram bus around Brussels. On the other side, you have the same from Emil Weber, and that's a bus, it's an hybrid bus based on the GPS to decide we are in the city, it's electrical, we are outside in the city, is using the power engine. They are also using the lot of possibility the European Commission gives in project. Salesland has a small bus without a driver, and that was paid by the Avenue project of the European Commission. They are part of the Mars for Europe, that's also a project funded by the European Commission. And the Verkeersverbond has worked in the European Travelers Club. Perhaps some of you have seen some pilot project between Maastricht and Aachen. Mars for Europe is between Luxembourg and Saarland. Next slide, please. Some initiatives are sometimes special. Before the tram, because there is a big traffic jam inside Luxembourg, they have the idea to use a teleferic between the central station and the Kirchberg. It was not done. For the moment, they are still pushed from private company for the monorail. It will never be done. That's why I speak about things without future. Next slide, please. Okay, then the tram. The tram has been decided to cross the complete city of Luxembourg. You see there that there is a part between Lux Expo, and that's the end of the Kirchberg, until the Place de l'Étoile, the Glacis for the moment, but it will be the Place de l'Étoile. That's the section that is already operational. Then it will go until the central station, and at the end until the Cloche d'Or, and on the other side until Findel and the airport. I have put the calendar. It has been started in 2014, and it's foreseen that it will be finished in 2023. There are a lot of multimodal hubs that has been set up. Multimodal hub, it's place where you have park and ride, where you have connection with the train, where you have connection with the shared bike and other facilities for the bicycle, but also for the car you have a point where you can find electricity for electrical car. And when you see all the small icons you have on the slide, you see that everywhere, nearly everywhere, you have a multimodal hub. And you see the picture on the left, that's a link between the train and the tram at the beginning of the Kirchberg, but the train is in the valley and the tram is up. And then we have built a funicular to make the link. And in fact, this funicular allowed to win between 20 and 30 minutes travel times compared to the bus who must cross a small road. Next slide, please. When they have built the tram, they have thought also to a lot of small things. It's green, yes. Certainly, why? Because they have decided to put the tram not in the city. In fact, it's only a tram crossing the city, but only on very big streets. In the past, there was a tram in Luxembourg, but that was the tram for the previous century, a tram going in every street that has been replaced by bus, by electrical bus, and the goal is not to put any more tram in the center, really in the small street. No, it's really crossing like the metro, is crossing in Brussels, and they have done all what they can to have a bicycle place around the tram, to have a very nice place. And for example, all the center of the city is without electrical wiring. They are working on battery between the Pont Rouge and the end of the Kirchberg until the central station. And I have put also a small example. They are USB plug for your smartphone on the seats. And then if you have battery problem, you can use it. Next slide, please. There are different creative solutions. I want to insist, and when you will visit it on the funicular, it was really important due to the different valley. You see also that the bridge crossing the Petrus in the center of Luxembourg, the Pont Adolphe, there was no place with the rail to put a place for the bicycle, and then they have put the bicycle place downside the bridge because. So you can have a continuity of a bicycle place crossing also the bridge without the problem you have in Brussels where you have small icon in front of the tram and you can have tram and bicycle on the same place. Next slide, please. That's another project, but it has been combined because in all the park and ride and so on, we have put Chargy place. We expect to have 1,600 place in Luxembourg in 2020. For the moment, there are 800 station only for the Mobi up related to the tram. And then, if you have an electrical car, you go to Luxembourg, you can charge it and take the tram. Next step. Next slide. For the park and ride, I want to show here two things. For the park and ride, we have decided to have very big park and ride. For example, at ANF, that's the hotel coming from Germany, from Trier, the park and ride is for 4,000 cars. If you see that from Germany, you have 40,000 people coming, it means that it's only for this park and ride, 10% of the car can go in there. But you have other, because you have 2,000 places at the Cloche d'Or. You have also at the station of Ovalt, I don't put it there. At Lux Expo, it's a 500 place that you have. And the policy for different park and ride is mainly to have it for free. To have it for free or for €1 if you stay there less than one day. And you will pay if you go there for more, because the idea is to use it as park and ride, not to use it for other reasons. Some park and ride are you must pay, and you must pay because you are in place where it can be used for different things. But if you look to the park and ride of ANF, there are nearly no house around this park and ride. It's only the place where the tram is crossing the autoroute coming from Trier. And that's the goal of this park and ride. Another important thing is that they have decided to put all the bus outside of the city. There was a place well known in Luxembourg, in the center in front of the post, it's Amelius, where there was a lot of bus coming from everywhere in the country. The idea is not to have them there, and to put them outside the city, to the airport, to the Cloche d'Or, and then you take the tram. And you have to change from a bus to a tram. But with a tram that is there in 5 minutes maximum, and where you will win the 5 minutes on the first 500 meters because it's very faster than a bus in the traffic jam, it's a better idea. And so you don't have the traffic jam generated by the bus inside the city, and they can have a nice place in the future for Amelius. Next slide, please. Just a look on the park and ride in Luxembourg. It's not only in the city, we have decided to put them as far as possible from the city, because if you have already spent half an hour in the traffic jam, you will not use a park and ride. You must have the park and ride at the end of the traffic jam. And in Belgium, it's difficult for Brussels to discuss with the two other regions, but Luxembourg has discussed with the three other countries to build park and ride outside Luxembourg. There are very big ones in Germany until Metzig, and it's more than 30 kilometers from Luxembourg, and in France until Thionville, and even after Thionville. And it's partially paid by Luxembourg. And next slide. Everything was using a single card, but it's very easy because everything is centralized by the Ministry of Transport, and the agency that cares about is using the M-card, and the M-card is used to go in the park and ride, even if it's free, because you have to pay if you stay there more than one day, but you can use it for the buy, for the M-box, for the charger, the electrical charger. Next slide. We have also built a MaaS application. It's not a MaaS application, it's a multimodal planner. And I want to insist, it's also coming from the Verkeersverbund. I want also insist on the fact that they've included the notion of park and ride in it. I think that the future is to include the park and ride also in ways and such application. So when you design your trip to somewhere, the park and ride will be included in it. Next slide. We have also tried the carpooling, and the carpooling is they have initially used their own application, the Copilot, and now they are using the standard one, Klaxon. But for the carpooling, it's also based on the park and ride. And if you see on the map there, the lot of park and ride around the city of Luxembourg, but going to France until Longwy, going to in Germany further than Trèves, it's really built on the fact that you start with your car, you go to somewhere where you take the car of another, or you take the public transport. Next slide. Okay, that was what I want to present, to introduce different concepts in Luxembourg, but I think that it's important to see also the film, because I don't really have spoken about the tram. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pierre-Paul, and thank you, Guido, of course. Sorry for combining your presentations, but I'm also looking a little bit at the time. Kurt asked me to flag something which I thought you know, and it's that we have extended a call until the webinar until 12. Originally, it was planned until 11:30, so people that are a little bit wondering about that, please be informed. I see some questions and suggestions on the chat for Guido and Pierre-Paul. Maybe I would like to just bundle them. Is this a game changer? Maybe just one question to Guido and Pierre-Paul. If there is one thing that you see that strikes you as different from what you see in Belgium, what would it be? Maybe the same question to Guido and then to Pierre-Paul. What is the one thing that strikes you?
Yeah, if I may, there is one thing that is different, is that in Luxembourg, the government, they have a project, they discuss with the associations and the federation. So we're very close to the government. We are involved in all discussions. And if we disagree, we tell them. If they disagree, they tell us. And we try to find a balance. And there is a discussion. They try to, they have understood in Luxembourg, they cannot take decisions by themselves. They have to consider the impact on the industries, on others. So they do that. So there is a close discussion with yeah. Then when you remind my presentation, at the end, it's a realistic plan. Grow the public transport to 22%. It's very realistic. And if you have realistic targets, it's more likely to happen. Then another, a last thing very quickly, The government they prepared the Clexit software, the platform for optimizing carpooling. It's a nice initiative, but it's very difficult. I think all initiatives to promote carpooling, they take off very slowly, and it's not really working. There are in Pierre Paul Berthiaud has presented all the details of a tram and chargy. This is all very good. We're very far in compared to the number of inhabitants. We have a larger infrastructure in charging, so it's all fine. But the carpooling is a difficult thing. It's not working.
Thank you very much, Guido. So same question to you, Pierre-Paul. If there is one thing that strikes you as different, of course, we will come back at the end of the webinar to this, but one thing that is different in the Luxembourg and Belgian approach, which one strikes you most?
I will quite quickly continue the 2 points of Guido. The first one, when he says that the government is discussing with all the entity in Luxembourg, yes, it's true. But the second point is that in Luxembourg, you have a central point coordinating the mobility, and that's the government. And that's a real problem in Belgium, because when you see in Belgium, it's split between regio and federal, but that's not the problem. The real problem is that you have an authority for the parking, you have an authority for the public transport, you have a different authority for the streets, you have a lot of different authorities, and even in one regio, even in one city, there is nobody who can coordinate everything. That's the first link to the point of Guido, but in Luxembourg you have a central point. The second point, when he speaks about the carpooling, I will say it for the park and ride. I've seen the first park and ride in Luxembourg, and I don't remember exactly if it was at the end of the 80s or somewhere there, but it's 40 years ago at least. And at this moment, it was considered as a little bit stupid and not really used. But when we see, it takes time, but after the time, it's really, really used. And it's for everything. I think it will be the same for the carpooling. And what I see in Luxembourg, when they decide to do it, they do it really. They do it with big park and ride. I have seen that in my small village with the bus. At one moment, they have decided there will be a bus line. There was a big bus every hour empty during 1 year. Now it's full. But it takes time.
Thank you very much, Pierre-Paul and Guido. So,
thank you.
Clear points. Coordination, I think we also saw in the slides of Eric that he listed six challenges, and challenge number six had actually not one but four slides and also involved coordination. I propose that we move on to the last, let's say, content bit, and then, of course, we will come back to all of you, because we will pop up together with Simon of Ernst & Young the magical question: what are the critical success factors for mobility to hubs and park and rides? But first, we will listen to Jeffrey Matthijs, one of the co-founders of the Belgian Mobipunten VZW. Jeffrey, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Peter. And I'm listening to a very interesting webinar. And my story will focus on Belgium and MobiHubs, of course. And before I start, I want to introduce myself. I'm working for Autodelen.net. And we have one simple goal. We want to maximize the ecological, social, and economic benefits of shared mobility. And we have a broad history. And we started with supporting people, neighbors, to share their own car in a coast-based system. But we are also known for very innovative projects such as sharing local government fleets, sharing adapted cars for people with reduced mobility. Also, we are one of the co-initiators of the Green Deal Shared Mobility in Flanders. And of course, we launched the concept MobiPoints in Flanders. So, and one of the nicest things to do for me is we also organize the yearly non-conventional event, as we know it, Shared Mobility Rocks. So what is the timeline in Flanders, and for that matter in Belgium, about MobiHubs? Well, in September 2017, the concept was launched by Taxistop and Autodelen.net through a paper with a journalist. And since then, it has become a real story, because it has been adapted in the decree or the law for basisbereikbaarheid. And we got some support from Flemish government. And then in February 2018, we had the first real Flemish MobiHub in the city of Deinze. There's a little bit of fight between Schoten and the city of Deinze, because they all, the two of them claim that they are the first, but for us, they are both the first. It's always better. So in Flanders, since 2019, it's incorporated in the law. And for that matter, we also organized us in a new structure, a new juridical structure. It's called Mobi.vzw. And the founders are we, Autodeel.net, Taxistop, and Info.publiekeruimte. And our goal is to build a network of Mobi points, not only in Flanders, but also in Brussels, in Belgium, and also in Europe. Because, and you will learn about that, it's very important that we talk about the same things and that we do the same things in the Mobi Hub, so the consumer can benefit at max. So that in a nutshell, who we are. And I want to talk about five opportunities today. I can talk, I guess, for 2 weeks about Mobi points and shared mobility, but I will focus the next 10 minutes on those five opportunities. And the first one is one for all and all for one. It's no more and no less than saying, if we are talking about Mobi points, we have to talk about the same thing. It has to be a landmark in the city, and in every city it has to be the same, so people can see, there's a Mobi Hub, and I can take a bus, I can take a shared bike, I can take a shared car at that Mobi point. So that's very important. And in fact, you can compare it with the subway in London or in Paris. Everybody knows the symbol for the subway. Well, the pillar or the symbol for Mobi Hub has to be the same in every country, in every region in Europe. So that's very important. Of course, such a pillar can be used for navigation and orientation. And what's very important also is that we use one symbol for one service. So here you can see we have developed a symbol for car sharing, but you also need it for bike sharing, for public transport, for electric cars, and so on and so on. And those symbols, we are working on that on European level. And you can see that, for instance, in Germany, they are using already those symbols. At the far, you can see the pillar of Mobilpunkte, like they call it in Germany. But you can also see it in the Netherlands. They use the symbol. They use it also in Bergen, Norway. And even in the UK, they are thinking about the Mobi hubs and the same symbols. So that's what I want to talk. That is what I want to say about the one for all and all for one thought. If we are able to use the same symbols and the same information in every country and every place, people will recognize it and probably will use the system. So that's the first one. The second one is, I heard a lot of interesting stories today, and it all was about big cities, Brussels, Luxembourg, you name it. But I think there's a very big opportunity for linking urban areas with rural areas, because in the big cities, it's easy to replace yourself, because you have the subway, you have buses, you can bike, and so on and so on. But the real challenge is, how can we get people from rural areas to the city without using the privately owned car? And in Luxembourg and Brussels, they are thinking about park and ride. I really like that idea. But I also think that we have to try to make people make more use of public transport and other modes. So a very interesting thing is to link the urban and rural areas with Mobi hubs. And in that case, I want to say a Mobi hub is not only a transfer place. So, for instance, I come with my car to the park and ride in Luxembourg, and then I use the tram. No, it's also actually a thing that today I can use my own private car, but tomorrow I will use public transport, and the day after tomorrow I will use a bike or a shared car. And all those things can be combined in a Mobi Hub. So there are two functions for me in the Mobi Hub. It's about transfer and about combi mobility, like we name it in Flanders. But it's also combi mobility and time. Every day, using another mode. So that was the second thing I wanted to say. And if you are talking about linking urban and rural areas, then I have a beautiful picture of a vision about that, because in Flanders we have a kind of strategy developed by the government, and we are talking about different types of Mobi hubs. You have the big ones, the regional ones, where you have the big train stations, but then you have also the rural ones at the other scope, and those are linking with each other. And for me, the ideal situation is that I start in the rural area by feet to a rural Mobi hub. There I can take a local bus to a bigger Mobi hub, and maybe there I can take a shared car or a train to the big city. And that's all about linking urban and rural. Then the third one is the Bricks and Bytes Alliance, like we call it. And of course, a Mobi hub is in the first place bricks. You need to have supply. You need to have a piler. You need to have public space that you can use. And also, of course, you need shared mobility. You need, you need, for instance, charging infrastructure. You need public transport and so on. But on the other side, we also need the bikes, the online things, because that is the glue that makes it work. And I explain myself. If we are talking about the bricks, then we don't want that every city, every local government is doing the same. I think we have to have a little bit uniformity, like the piler and the logo, and everybody knows the system. But on the other hand, local governments can decide to make an artwork from a Mobi hub, or maybe they will use another color. That's not important, as long as it's recognizable. But if we are talking about the bytes, then it's very important we are talking the same language. And in Flanders, and for that matter in Europe, they are working very hard to make a general language that everybody speaks. And we are aiming at the TOMP one, if we are talking about data, but a lot has to be discussed about that. But very important that the central language is the same. And you can see we need a central database to gather all information, all data, and everything is linked with that. The providers are linked with that, the Mobi points are linked with that, the people are linked with that. And if we are making those data in an open standard, free, then mobility as a service operators can use it. Then you can make systems of interoperable car sharing, and so on and so on. Even we are experimenting in Flanders, for instance, with Mobi hubs who are giving also touristic information, or who are selling, for instance, local products, for instance, like strawberries in some neighborhoods. So that's very interesting. And if you're linking those data and you have touch screens on the pilers, you can see some screens here, then people can scroll through all those screens and know more about the neighborhoods. Then the fourth opportunity is shared mobility. And really, shared mobility rocks, because it's an essential link in promoting sustainable mobility and use of Mobi hubs. Because we want to have people owning less private cars, because then we have more public space in the cities, and we can give space back to the people who are living there. We can see it right now with the COVID crisis. people are more walking and cycling, and that's very nice. People are liking it. So shared mobility is essential, and I will prove it through this slide, because if you are talking about a vision of Flanders, they made actually a kind of data matrix where on which Mobi Hub you need which type of system of mode. And if you can see at the left, we are talking about public transport, and if we are talking about local and neighborhoods, it's very difficult to make it profitable to have a public transport system, because people will not use it that often as they do in the city. So it's very expensive. But if we are talking about shared mobility, that's something that almost everywhere is an opportunity, because even if there is no provider who is taking care of the shared cars or the shared bikes, people who are owning cars and bikes can share it with their neighborhood. And if you put it together on a Mobi Hub, then you have a good system. I'm gonna go to the next slide, because my last argument or last opportunity is the package deal. And if we are talking about Mobi Hubs, it's so much more than mobility. It's also a meeting point for people to meet each other and to have a like social cohesion and inclusion. But also, if you are really talking about packages, it would be very nice that every Mobi Hub has a kind of locker where all the Lundos and B-posts and every operator who is delivering packages can just put it in a locker, and people go to the locker and take their own products. That, instead of all those buses and little cars which are riding in the neighborhoods and making traffic less safe. So it's a very interesting thing. Other things you can do at a Mobi Hub is, for instance, give free Wi-Fi. So people without the possibility to use Wi-Fi, they can come to the Mobi Hub and be online. You can also make little shops at Mobi Hubs, and so on and so on. So the opportunities are very big. So those were the five opportunities for Mobi Hubs for me. And now I'm trying, yes. I want to make a little bit marketing about something we are planning with Mobipunt VZW. We are doing an international Mobi Hub Academy in Bergen, Norway, because that's a very enlightening situation. They are having like 10 Mobi Hubs in Bergen, all of them electric, and all of them with full city support and full support of the local civilians. So it's a very interesting. If you click on the link, you can know more. Which are the lessons learned? Just to end, as I said, Mobi Hubs are not only about mobility, it's also about spatial planning and energy. You can do a lot with Mobi Hubs, but you need to have some people who are going for it. Then you have to plan it. Just don't just do something, but think about it, set an ambition, and also be patient. People will not use it from the very first moment, but you have to do something else for it. And that's what I'm talking about, communication, and communication. Because if you don't talk about it, it doesn't exist. So communication is very important, not only in Mobi Hubs, but also in shared mobility, public transport, biking. You have to let people know there is an alternative for the privately owned car. And the privately owned car is a kind of mental process, because we are all grown up with the idea, once I get old, I get my car and my life is perfect. Well, it's not that anymore. Your life will be perfect when you don't own the car, and you can make use of a lot of other modes. So very important. I will just say something about other lessons learned. You can always ask questions for me. But I think As I said, Mobi Hubs are all about a regional approach and maybe even an international approach, but you have to look at certain situations. So every Mobi Hub will be a little bit different. So you need one logo, one pillar, one vision about Mobi Hubs, but according to local situations, there can be some customization. And I heard it already in several presentations before. We also have the politic reality. You can't always get what you want. It's about politics. So some politicians want something because they want their name, for instance, on a certain object. Well, then deal with it and be creative and be flexible, but make sure there's uniformity. So also practice what you preach. That's more for local governments. If you are asking people to make use of Mobi Hubs, to not own that much privately owned cars, to use shared mobility, well, maybe you can start as a local government to share your own fleet and make it possible that civilians use your fleet outside office hours, for instance. Also communicate, do the same things as you expect, so take a bike and so on and so on. And as a tenth, did I already mention that shared mobility rocks? I think that's a very important thing, that shared mobility is the keystone, the essential link in Mobi Hubs. And for that matter, at 8th of October, we are organizing our third edition of Shared Mobility Rocks in Brussels. So you're all very welcome to join us there. Thank you for your attention. I will give the screen back to Kurt.
Thank you very much. Also inspired some questions in the chat. Some quick questions before we open up to the group, because as you will see, we're very keen actually to have inputs from everyone. So I see a question of Stijn van der Weijer. Is your organization approved by Flemish administration to build local multimodal hubs in Flanders? Is maybe a question, Jeffrey. And then I think another interesting point, I think you touched on it already, is as Stijn Vernijen is kind of suggesting that we need, there is maybe a delicate balance between a common understanding, common a common look and feel, and at the same time not putting an upper bound maybe on creativity. So Stijn is saying maybe we do not need to lock everything into exactly the same concept and logo. So maybe these two questions, Jeffrey, a selection. First, are you building multimodal hubs for the Flemish government? And second, what is this balance between recognizability and at the same time freedom on the market and freedom of local authorities to take as many creative initiatives as possible?
Yeah, I will start with the question of Stijn. Because he is very right. I might have laid the focus too much on the logo and the colors, but what I meant was what Stijn is talking about. We need the same general principles. If we are talking about the Mobi Hub, it has to be clear what we are talking about. And of course, we need innovation and we need the market to be involved and we need to experiment because it's a quite new concept. So, I agree with the principles and it's not all about the logo. On the other hand, it's very important. There is one kind of logo or pillar that people will recognize. Because if it's something different in the city of Antwerp than it is in Ghent and in Brussels and in Leuven, then we have a problem. People will not know what it's all about. So I think it's a little bit important to have also one logo or one thing that can make sure it's a Mobi Hub. Then, of course, we are building Mobi Hubs in Flanders, and not only in Flanders, also in the Netherlands and so on, but we are never building them ourselves. We are just the one who are supporting local government, supporting private partners, to give vision and to make sure it's happening. So we don't have the ambition to create MobiHubs and sich, because we want to have as much as possible MobiHubs. So we want to be the initiator, the inspirator, and so on and so on, not the builder of MobiHubs.
Sorry, forgot to unmute myself. Thank you very much, Jeffrey. We have to look at the time a little bit. And as you know, we want feedback and at the same time finalized by 12. We see a lot of other very interesting questions. We will take them certainly in the minutes and maybe take them on LinkedIn afterwards. I would at this moment give the floor to Simon. Simon will actually take us through conclusions, but first of all, I think on an interactive part, Simon.
Hi everyone, thanks Peter for handing me over the mic. I'm not sure the slides that Kurt is currently showing, if that is necessary to go towards the Menti first. I guess this is it. Peter, it might be well if you help me out for a second. I guess it's everyone. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just to see if everybody is still awake and also to give you a first recap and maybe a starting point for the discussion.
Yeah, great start. Thanks. And I see the answers coming in. I think we have about 40 answers right now out of a little more than 50 participants. So thank you for that. Really interesting to see what your opinion, personal opinion is on what might be the critical success factors based on the discussion that the speakers introduced earlier. Good, before I continue, I don't know if there's any other Menti question following.
No, this was
all right. There we go. Perfect. It's a great introduction. Let me share a couple of things in the chat as well. Really interesting to see some of the bigger words popping up in the word cloud just earlier. I see words like coordination, communication, and collaboration popping out. What I wanted to do today, and that's my responsibility, is to fuel the group discussion that we want to do until, let's say, about 12 o'clock. I think we already have heard a lot of critical success factors on the implementation of mobility hubs throughout the presentations. What I want to do is share my opinions on what might be the most important things there and take that as fuel for the discussion and see what reactions are, so that we can share opinions and maybe define a couple of next actions that could help us all out in further moving forward with the whole mobility hub story. Before I start that, and before I start sharing my opinion, a quick intro on myself. So my name is Simon. For those who don't know me, I'm senior manager at the consulting firm EY. Mobility is my passion. That has been like that for a while. But I have two hats on, especially today. I'm also currently involved within the Mobility Region Works for the Flemish government, as I'm currently managing the mobility region of Antwerp. So I'm not only looking at this from a consultant point of view, but especially looking at this from an implementation point of view, as the mobility regions will play a role for sure in the further creation and the further development of the whole mobility hub strategy and the combi mobility strategy in general. So that just as an introduction. I didn't prepare any slides. What I did in the chat is I shared 5 points, and I want to go through those 5 points if that's okay for you, one by one, and just share my opinion on every five of them, and then leave the mic to all of you to react, to challenge, to further share ideas on the things that I'm introducing. So first of all, one of the big first takeaways that I want to propose and share with you is everything on location. We're talking about mobility hubs. It's well introduced by Sven in the beginning of our webinar, from a network point of view. So networked, as in multimodal focus. It's a place where a lot of mobility offerings are combined and come together. We're talking about public transportation, about shared mobility solutions, about bikes, about cars, everything. So that's really interesting, but also connected and networked from a location point of view, because we want those mobility hubs, those mobi points, whatever we call them, we want them to be connected with other mobility hubs, which makes the whole network function better. And for me personally, location is a defining factor in that regard, and in choosing the right location for those mobility hubs. And two things pop out there for me. One, I think it's really important if we look for ideal locations to create mobility hubs, it's really important to look for a close availability of public transportation. I think Erik mentioned it in his presentation as well. If there is tram, train, metro infrastructure nearby, that's really important to create well-performing mobility hubs, in my opinion. So that's a big element I want to add. And the second one on mobility hubs with a park and ride function, I think it's really important to install them as closely to highway exits as possible. And another thing I want to add there is that it's really important to install them before the critical congestion point. So let's not install park and rides within traffic access where there is a lot of congestion. I think it's really important to install them before the critical congestion point, so that people can, let's say, drive off the highway, get on the park and rides, get on the mobility hub, and use a smarter, faster, more quality alternative of public transportation, and then all the other mobility products that are offered at the mobility hub. So for me, that's really important. And another major element when we're talking about location for me is we're all looking at this from a mobility point of view, which is obviously important, but we'll be challenged on the spatial integration as well. And I'm really happy that it's, if I look at the Flemish vision and the Flemish strategy on mobility hubs, that's one of the main criteria as well, that we look at the spatial integration. I think it's important that we also have a close look on what the effect is of creating mobility hubs, especially the bigger ones, on the, let's say, livability and safety situation of the environment in which we implement them. So that's a couple of those are a couple of ideas and thoughts that I want to share on location. And I'm curious, and Peter might be able to help me on leading reactions that all of you have on my opinion on location. So I don't know if anybody wants to share his opinion, his or her opinion on this topic.
Yeah, maybe I would suggest, Simon, that we use the chat or invite people to use the chat to come in on what was said earlier, and to try help prioritize the key messages learned. I've also seen, which is really interesting, that many cities are involved, also regions, I saw interesting presentation from MOW, for instance, the Flemish region, the people actively involved with the vervoersregio's. Quite interesting to see what, let's say, their takeaways are. I think with you, Simon, we also saw in the word cloud how coordination, cooperation was really popping up as the central element. So I jump a little bit already also to your lower points and your forward points. Indeed, apart from financing issues, how do we create market interest, maybe real estate sector, but also, as you say, coordination. Who will take the lead? I think de facto, the regions are taking the lead, isn't it?
I can agree, Peter, at least partly. It's like you mentioned, it was my fourth takeaway. And my question, how the hell will we get all of this financed? Me personally, I think we need to prioritize our investments. There's a big rush now, and that rush starts to pop up. Let's call it a rat race for money to get subsidies and investments to create mobility hubs. But the means will be limited, so we will have to make as regions and as governments, especially, make smart decisions on where to invest for sure. And then an open question from my part, and that's indeed already mentioned. It might be interesting, and I haven't seen many cases, to create profitable financing models also with private investments. And it was in the chat, indeed. I think it's a really interesting idea to see where there might be opportunities within the real estate sector, also for more commercial players to co-invest and finance in these kind of mobility hubs, and see if we can create business cases also for governments where we can increase the return on investment on the whole financing and the creation of these well-performing mobility hubs. But I don't know if anybody within the group and all the participants that are joining, if there are any best cases known on co-financing this, if there are any other opinions on where to invest and where not to invest, and how to tackle this challenge.
Yeah, I think that will be maybe difficult, Simon, to pop up specific questions, but I would maybe also use the opportunity of some people on the call, the webinar. I know that they will maybe not like me singling them out, but I saw an earlier comment from Odette, for instance. I see also that Tom Geerts is involved. I come back also maybe to the video that we circulated before, Simon. We know that Eric Dubois looks at it favorably. It is a compelling vision. To the Flemish colleagues, is it imaginable that something like that, a video or visualization of the vision, could at some time be considered? I'm not sure whether Tom or Odette are actually hearing this question and feel like responding to it.
I'm hearing the question. I hope you all hear me. I think that kind of visualization is a possibility, but today I heard a lot of things, and I think it all still has to sink in. I think what we've seen from Luxembourg, what we've seen from the Mobi points, it all gives us inspiration, but how we are going to handle that inspiration.
Clear. Yeah, as Tom is also joining in the chat, he's probably able to hear us. Indeed, what is happening in Flanders and the other regions, what he is labeling the afsprakenkader. Het is de ecosystem dat Flanders plans to build and that Tom will help drive is certainly an important development. In a certain way, we can see, yes, Simon, that this ecosystem is being built in the three regions. A federal level is involved as well, is active in this call, supporting through a national access point. But I think it is mainly the regions that are in the driving seat. Ecosystem, we see also sensitivity for a regulatory framework, making the right rules, helping to create a market. And we see also some first standardization efforts. To some people, Chinese, some of the comments made here at the TOMP API, and to other people are already familiar with, for instance, the Flemish MAAS APIs. I'm watching the time a little bit with you, Simon. I think very interesting what comments were made during the chat and on the chat, and we will capture these as well. I think if it's fine, Simon, I would like to not only thank all speakers, but just quickly give also maybe the floor to my colleague Kurt, who is basically, I think, will show where this development, the Mobi Hubs, also fits in the ITS work plan. So thank you very much, Simon. Kurt.
Well, as promised, at the end of the presentations, here you can find the link. And this link we will also send you by mail within a few minutes. So where you can find all presentations that were given during this webinar. A final slide is just to show you which webinars, workshops that we foresee or foresaw in 2020. So there are a few upcoming. So these will also be webinars. Like for instance, for next week, this is also one that it's almost fully booked. So if you should be interested, you can find also the links to it. One that I also especially would like to highlight is, of course, our annual Congress on the 24th of September. It will be a very special one because it will be a virtual Congress. So much more information will follow within the coming weeks. So this was more or less all I wanted to highlight for now. Thank you all for being present in this webinar and hope to see you or hear you very soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to all our speakers, Sven Huismans, Eric Dubois, Guido Savi and Pierre Paul Berthiaud, and of course, Jeffrey Mathijs and Simon Neid. So thank you to all. Thank you for joining and I'm sure we will meet very, very soon. Bye for now.